we're going to deal with a few issues today. Well, it's going to be a little random. Three different issues. Let's first discuss, we're going to conclude the Hagdara of Bishul. So far we've discussed the Hagdara of Bishul of Ochlin, of Maimon, and of Shemin. We're going to conclude with the Hagdara of Bishul B'matefes. Whereas in Ayin Dalam Beis, Omer Vachabar of Aviro, Hai Man Deshod De Silksa, La Asuna Chai Mishim Evashel. Somebody puts a peg into the oven, is Chai Mishim Evashel. The Gemara asks Pshita, apparently it's obvious that there's Bishul B'matefes. I guess one could have questioned that, but it's Pshita. Mao de tema lishrure mana kamachavin, that you're just doing it, you have kavanah to do it to make a kli. Kamashmalan demir for rafi vahadr kamit. Kamashmalan yerchayev, why? Because in the end of the day, it's not just hardening it, but it's softening first and then it's hardening. So Rashi says, demir for rafi alidei chom haor, vahamayim shebesocha, we're dealing with a wet peg here. It goes out. The Hamina is that since it's going from hard to hard, just making it harder, so therefore you wouldn't be chai because of Bishul, and that's not what Bishul B'matefes is. What's going on here is that first it loosens a little bit, and then it hardens. And according to Rashi, the Hagdar for Bishul B'matefes is just to loosen the matechas, it's merapa roughly, and that's the chiyuv. The Rambam clearly he definitely holds that hardening it is part of the malacha. The Rambam in Tezvav brings down a whole bunch of cases. Hamatek atam yuminei matachos kolshehu om hamechamim esa matechas achetase gachelas arizet toldos mevashel. He says to heat up matachas is a tolda mevashel. We'll mention that with that later. He's indicting the fact that it's only a tolda. V'chein ha-mamaseis es ha-doneg, o-es ha-chelev, o-es ha-zefes, v'ha-kofer, v'ha-gofres, v'chayetz behem, all these different materials. Ha-reza tolda is mevashel v'chayev. V'chein ha-mevashel kli-adom, ha-chi-yasu cheres chayim v'shem mevashel. And in the end, the Rambam says, k'lal shel dovar, ben sreifa guf kosha be'esh, o shehik she guf raf, ha-reza chayim v'shem mevashel. In the end of the day, whether it's burning something guf kasha in a fire, whether you're hardening something soft. Sharifa, sorry. You're right. Sharifa guf kasha beish, thank you. Osha hiksha guf rach harezachai mishum mevashel. So it's either one. The Rambam says that either one is chayiv mishum mevashel. So the Lechem Mishnah asks, are you sure it's Sharifa?
No, it's
Sharifa.
What? That's right.
Sharifa.
That's the point. It's harder, you make it softer.
Then the Lechem Mishnah shouldn't have a question.
Would it be Sharifa?
I don't think that's how the Lechem Mishnah read it. The Lechem Mishnah shouldn't, if it's either one, I hear it reading it both ways, but if it's softening, so then Lechem Mishnah shouldn't have a question. I'll just say the Lechem Mishnah's question.
I thought the question was the Rambam includes hardening as Bishul. At all.
But it's not. That's
not what you're asking yourself.
That shouldn't be a problem. It could be, I get here reading it that way also. Yeah, you're probably right. That's definitely how they would tell it right. Thank you. So, the Rambam says that either softening or hardening it would be Chai Mishim Mevashel. From Rashi, all you see is that softening it is Chai Mishim Mevashel. So the Lechem Mishnah asks that if hardening it, definitely the Rambam includes hardening it as a Chiyav Bishul, so then what was, and then that you are hardening it, who cares about the fact that the Kamash Malan here of the Gemara, Kamash Malan Demir Per Rafe Vahadar Kamit, what's the Kamash Malan adding? At the end of the day, if you're hardening it, so then it should be Chayav Mishum Bishul. So Lechem Mishnah says that it's not just the fact that it has to harden, but if you harden something which is already hard, so then it'll be putter. You have to create some sort of change. So the Hamin is that since you're all you're doing is that you're creating something which is already hard and you're just hardening it to make it into a kli, you're just strengthening it, so then you would be putter, because it's not really a significant change. The Kamash Malan is that no, it's softening and then it's hardening. So since it's softening and then it's hardening, so therefore you will be chayav. I thought the Lachmish just said you'll be chayav because of the hardening, because the hardening creates a change, but according to what you're saying now, it should be chayav because of either one. That's probably why I read it the other way. Either way, I'm not sure. I have to get back to this. But the Lacha Mishnah definitely holds that just hardening it is also chayiv. And the way he explains the Gemara is that to harden something which is already hard would not be chayiv. That's not viewed as significant. But to harden something which is soft, or through the process it gets soft, so then you will be chayiv. The Egle Tal. Is medayik in the Rambam that in some places he says that it's a toldim of Ashel, and in some places he just says chay mishum of Ashel. In the first two cases, before his klal, he just calls it a tolda of Mavashel. And then in his klal shel davar, the Rambam says klal shel davar bein shiripa guf kasha be'esh o shehikshe guf rach hariza chay mishum of Ashel. Which I think is definitely how David Tal read it. That the klal is that whether you're softening it or whether you're hardening it, you are chayiv mishum mevashel. Why are some cases just a tolda and some cases an av? He wants to say that chayiv mishum mevashel is an av, and all the other cases are a tolda. So what is the chilek? So he says that we learn out from bishul simanim, which is the source of bishul in the Mishkan, that it has to last. Anything which there has to be, you have to perform an action which ultimately lasts, and that's the av. Where we magdav av as something which lasts. So the way he'll read the Gemara over here is that it has to be something which lasts, and over here, it might not be viewed as lasting. So he understands that it has to be something which lasts. So in addition to the fact that you have to harden it or soften it, he has this chiluk between the av and the tolda. The av is something which has to last, and the tolda is something which doesn't have to last. That's just in terms of the hagdara of bishul matechas. I just wanted to put that in there. We're not really going to discuss bishul matechas. Bishul matechas is a bigger discussion about when you heat up matechas, whether it's bishul or havara. There are steers in the Rambam, and it impacts lights, but we're really not going to get into that. But this is just in terms of having a hagdara of bishul ba'ochlin, mayim and shemen. So this is in addition to that, we have the hagdara for bishul matachas. Fine. So now we're moving on to a totally new, different topic of ein bishul achar bishul bedavar yavish. What we have now is ein bishul achar bishul bedavar yavish, and after that we're going to deal with whether there is bishul achar bishul bedavar lach, and then we'll deal with other issues for bishul midaraisa. Just to review, for ein bishul achar bishul, we mentioned this in the very beginning, that there are three different opinions as to why we would have ein bishul achar bishul. One was the opinion of the Ran, who explained that ein bishul achar bishul is because it's not the derech to be mevashel to be mevashel after one already cooked it. That was the opinion of the Ran. The Gra explained, The Gra holds that there's a concept of ein malacha achar malacha, that within all the 39 malachos, if you already did that action to the schachtza from before Shabbos, so then you will no longer be chayav on Shabbos if you perform that same malacha on that object. Concept of ein malacha achar malacha, he extends the concept of ein token achar token to all other malachos. And then the third option that we had for in bishal achar bishal was that you are not, the hagdara of bishal doesn't apply in a case of in bishal achar bishal. Since it's already cooked, so then you have not fulfilled the hagdara of bishal on Shabbos, whatever that hagdara is, that's what we've been dealing with for the past couple of days. And so therefore, in bishal achar bishal is because you didn't really cook it on Shabbos. Since it's already edible, since it already tastes a certain way, whatever the explanation is, if it's a chafta mevushal, so therefore, the whole hagdara of bishal just doesn't apply. So we had different definitions for, within this idea of the hagdara bishal, we had various explanations as to what the hagdara bishal is. So we said that either it's about making something from non-edible to edible, is it making it from edible, either non-edible to edible, or it's even more than that, making it even more edible. And that was the opinion of the Ramban, who said that in order to have in bishal achar bishal, it has to be in the special tzorcho from before Shabbos, because now it's already fully edible, so then to cook it further on Shabbos would be potter, but if it was less than that, so then you would be chayev, because if it's less than that, so then you're making it even more edible. Then we also have the opinion of the Or Zeruah, of the Riva in the Or Zeruah, that it's about improving its taste. And then we had this other explanation, also we saw Rav Gaon explain this for the Rambam, and also we found this in the Rashba, that it's about just creating a Chafta HaMavushal. If you create a Chafta HaMavushal, so then you no longer be chayev on Shabbos. And that's the idea of in bishal achar bishal. So just before we get into other nuances of in bishal achar bishal, just in terms of how we paskin, just wanted to get into that for a second. So in Shin Yud Ches Dalet, it's clear that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, that it has to be in a special kol tzorcho in order to be pater for in bishal achar bishal on Shabbos. So it seems that for the Shulchan Aruch that the hagdar is that for bishal is that it has to be, you're making it from non-edible to edible, or even more than that, just continuing to make it even more edible. The Mishnah Berurah points out that even though we pass on like the Rambam, but there's a general cloud that whenever there's a machlokes rishonim, the diyeved, we could pass in like the other shita. There's a general cloud within Hilchos Shabbos here, based on a prima gadim. So therefore, b'diyeved, if you cook something which is kemachal ben jusai, it was kamachal ben jusai from before Shabbos, so then you cook it on Shabbos, so that's the opinion of the Rashba. So b'diyeved, you could eat it. It's not a b'diyeved, we won't say that you were over on bishal. If you were to be over on bishal, you can't eat it. B'diyeved will say that you could eat it. That the Mishnah Berurah points that out. We also saw the Ramah in Shin Yuches Yud Dalet. He mentions that it would be aser to cook something which is edible raw. Even though it's fully edible raw, so then it would also be aser. So now all of a sudden, the question is, how do we fit this with the Shulchan Aruch? And it doesn't seem like the Shulchan Aruch argues here either, but how do you fit this with the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Ches Dalet? The Shulchan Aruch is talking in Yud Dalet is dealing with Mayim, which is also edible raw, which is the whole discussion that we had yesterday. But it's definitely clear for the Ramah that you're over the violation of bishul if you cook something which is edible raw. And so just to review, we saw this in the Mishnah Berurah and in the Sha'ar Tzion, that the reason behind this is that the chiyah for bishul, the hagdara for bishul, is to improve its taste. And so even though it's edible raw, the hagdara for bishul is not about making it more edible or about making it edible, but rather it's about improving its taste. And then the Sha'ar Tzion explains, this doesn't fit, this still fits with Shin Yud Ches Dalet, or the Rambam, who holds that it's about Nispashal Kol Tzorcho, because if you just bring it from Machal Ben Jusai to Nispashal Kol Tzorcho, so then that would be improving its taste. So the whole Agdar, you could just say for the Shulchan Aruch and for the Ramah, is just about improving its taste. I believe that Rabbi Willig read this Ramah differently than the Mishnah Berurah. I think he wanted to read the Ramah as saying that we'll be machmir both for the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir for the Rambam, and we'll be machmir for the Rashba, the way that Rabbi Willig understood the Rashba. Rabbi Willig understood the Rashba that in bishul achar bishul is that one is allowed to cook something which is already a chefta hamavushal. If it's already defined as a chefta hamavushal, so then one can cook it. But if it's only raw, even though it's edible raw, but at the end of the day it's just raw, so then one would be chayiv to cook it on Shabbos because it's not a chefta hamavushal, it was never cooked to begin with. Even though it's edible raw, one still will be chayiv. And the Ramah is telling us here, I think this is how Rabbi Willig read it, the Ramah is telling us here that we'll be machmer even for the Rashba, for this day and the Rashba, and that so therefore in the end of the day we'll be machmer based on the Shulchan Aruch for the Rambam, and we'll be machmer for the Rashba, we'll be machmer for both opinions. Lamaisa, what's the difference whether we're machmer for both opinions, for the Rambam and for the Rashba, about this chafsa amavushal idea? So I think we pointed this out either yesterday or the day before, that a nachmina of chafsa amavushal and all the other opinions is the following case, or potential nachmina, is the following case of you cooked it with a microwave on Friday, and then you cooked it again ala or on a fire on Shabbos. So if you cook it on microwaves, it's already fully cooked, it's already edible, and it already changed the taste, and everything changed. So therefore, to cook it on Shabbos should be allowed, according to all the other opinions, except for the opinion that it's based on chafsa on the bushel. Because since cooking it through a microwave is not halachically defined as bishel, so then one could say, you don't have to say this, but one could say that it's not viewed as a chafsa on the bushel. You could claim that it is a chafsa on the bushel, even if it's not halachically bishel. But I think Rabbi Willig says that no, it's not a chafsa hamavushal, and so therefore to cook it on Shabbos, alidea, or to cook something which is already cooked through a microwave on a fire on Shabbos would be usur, because we are machmir. He says based on this Ramah, we are machmir for this Rashba. It's clear that the Mishnah Berurah did not learn this way. The Mishnah Berurah holds, it just explains the Ramah as having to do with the fact that you're improving its taste. It's not about this chafsa hamavushal idea. But this is how Rabbi Willig read this, and the nachmir between Rabbi Willig. How Rabbi Willig and the Mishnah Berurah read this Ramah would be the case of where it was cooked on Friday through a microwave, and then you cook it on Shabbos on the fire. That's just in terms of Psak Halacha, and that the different Hagdaras that one, the different ways one could understand the Hagdara of Bishul, so that will impact the Halacha here. Okay, so now let's get to this third issue. So now that we have our understanding of Ein Bishul Archa Bishul, so now there are various nuances within Ein Bishul Archa Bishul. So today we're going to be discussing one shita of Bishul Achar Afia or Bishul Achar Tzli. So until now we've just been discussing Bishul Achar Bishul. The question is Bishul Achar Tzli or Bishul Achar Afia any different? So there are two Gemaras which discuss Bishul Achar Afia and Bishul Achar Tzli. We have the Gemara in Brachos and we have the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Brachos and Lama Chesam and Beis reads as follows: Darish Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu Umanu Rav Shlakas Mavarchan Alem Borei Pri Adama. Rav says that if you cook vegetables, so then you make a Borei Pri Adama. I.e., Rav holds that cooking does not impact the status of the item. The status is that it's a vegetable. Cooking doesn't change it from being a vegetable. For Rav Sina Yordan Meretz Yisrael Umanu Ula. Ula holds, that no, cooking does change the original status. Cooking will make it into a shahakal. What I read until now was correct, even from below that. Vani Omer, the machlokas shenuya, and he says that it's telling a machlokas. This machlokas between Rav and Ula about whether cooking will uproot its original status is the following machlokas. The Tanya, Yotzin Birokik Hashari Ubimuvushal Shaloni Muach Divrei Rav Meir. In terms of matzah has to be baked. So what if you have the following case? Let's just discuss the Mavushal case. If you have something which is baked and then you cooked it, so Rav Meir says you still fulfill matzah. Why? Because Rav Meir holds that bishul does not uproot the status of being baked. Rav Yossi Omer Yotzin Baraki Hashari Avalo B'mavushal Afal Pishul Onimuach. Rav Yossi argues and says, no, you can't fulfill your chiyuv matzah if you cooked it after you baked it. So at this point in time, the Gemara is assuming that we can make the same comparison with regards to brachos and borei pri adama. So what's the comparison? The comparison is a machlokas as to whether cooking uproots the original status. So if cooking uproots the status of a fia, which is a machlokas, so then cooking would also uproot the status of a vegetable. And the Gemara answer is v'lohi, it's not mochroch, that this is the machlokas. Maybe the kuli alma shlokas mevarchan alem borei pri adama. Maybe everybody agrees that cooking does not uproot the original status. The ad kan lo kam rabiosi hasam el mishin da bi'inon tam matza v'lako. The only reason why Rabbi Yossi argued with regards to matzah is because there's a separate halacha with regards to matzah that it has to have the tam of matzah. And if you cook it after it's been baked, so then that changes the taste of the matzah. But really, Rabbi Yossi agrees essentially that cooking it does not change the status of being a vegetable. It wouldn't change the status of being baked. Cooking would not impact that status. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara in Brachos. It's important to note that Ula is still of his opinion. Ula is still of his opinion that if one cooked a vegetable, that you get make a shahakal. So therefore, according to Ula, he would hold that if you cook it, it would change the status. He's the only one, in the conclusion of Brachos, he's the only shita.
The status that, does change, the taste does not.
Well, the taste would also change, but what's important here is that the status changes, and therefore, with regards to, let's say...
No, status does not change, taste does.
For Ula, Ula says that if you cook a vegetable, so then you make a shahakal. So why is that? So the reason for that is because cooking takes it out of the status of being a vegetable to being not a vegetable, being shahakal. So Ula is of the opinion that by cooking it, it'll remove it from its status.
Right.
Tasting doesn't impact the bracha. Fine, so that's the conclusion of the Gemara in Brachos, that really everyone holds that cooking doesn't impact the status, except for Ula. Ula holds that it does impact the status. So now the Gemara in Pesachim is dealing with Bishul Achar Tzli by the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach needs to need to roast the Korban Pesach, so the question is whether cooking after roasting would impact the status of being viewed as something which is roasted. So the Gemara quotes a brisa here, Bishlo v'achar tzolo, or shetzolo v'achar bishlo, chayev. If you cook it after you roast it, or if you roast it after you cook it, so then you're chayev. And chayev for the Korban Pesach that you were over on the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has to be roasted, and you went ahead and you cooked it. So the Gemara says bishlama bishlav acher tzolo chayev to habashlay. I understand if you cook it first and then you roast it, that you're chayev because the first thing you did was to cook it. If you cooked it, so then you're chayev. You were supposed to roast it and you cooked it. El tzolo acher bishlo hatzliyeshu amai. But if you first roasted it and then you cooked it, so then why would you be chayev? In the end of the day, this should be defined as a tzliyesh. The more answer is Amar Chis, Amar Kahana, how money Rabbi Yossi he? No, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the same Rabbi Yossi that we had earlier. What does Rabbi Yossi say? The Tanya Yotzin Barakik Hashari Moshe Shaloni Moch Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that with regards to matzah, if you cooked it after you baked it, so then that would be fine. It retains the status of being baked. Rabbi Yossi Amar Yotzin Barakik Hashari Avalo Bimavoshal. Rabbi Yossi argues and he says that if you cooked it after you baked it, so then it loses its status of being baked because you cooked it. So too, with regards to the Korban Pesach, if you cooked it after you roasted it, so then it would lose its status of being roasted, and therefore you should be chai mishum bishul of the Korban Pesach because you cooked the Korban Pesach. Then comes along Ula, important to remember the names here, Ula comes along and says that no, afilu tamer of Meir. You could say that even Rav Meir would agree that you'd be chayav mishum bishul over here by the Korban Pesach, because shani hacha damar ka basham uvushum akom akom. There's an exception here, even though in general Rav Meir holds that cooking does not remove it from its original status, but over here there's an exception because there's a special gzeirat hakasav here of basham uvushum to tell us that you'll be chayav mishum uvushum here as well. So at first glance it seems that there's a stira between the Gemaras, because the Gemara in Brachos in its conclusion said that no, even Rav Yossi holds that cooking doesn't remove it from its status, it's just that cooking changes the taste of the matzah, and since it changes the taste of the matzah, that's why you can't fulfill your chiyuv of matzah. But really Rav Yossi holds that it doesn't change the status, and over here in Pesachim it seems that no, that Rav Yossi does hold that cooking just does change the status. So Tosos over here in Pesachim and Malach Manalach already deals with this. Devar Maskel Ula. And Tosos in essence says that this whole Gemara is going according to Ula. Ula in the Gemara in Brachos holds that if you cook a vegetable, so then it changes its status from being a vegetable to being a non-vegetable, and you get make a shahakal. So this whole Gemara is, yeah, it's going according to Ula, who says that it does impact, cooking it would impact its status. Obviously, according to Rav Meir, Ula has to agree that within Rav Meir, it doesn't change its status. It's clear for a Meir that if you cook something after you baked it, so then it would retain its status of being something which is baked. But Ula, outside of a Meir, would hold within Rabbi Yossi that cooking does change its status. But the maskana of the Gemara in Brachos, which is, that's all according to the Hamina, but the maskana of the Gemara in Brachos is that cooking does not change the status. So these are the Gemaras that deal with Bishal Achar Tzliya and Bishal Achar Afiya. So the Mordechai quotes a machlokas between the Yireim and the Ravya. And they try to learn from these Gemaras whether this would extend to Shabbos, by Bishal Achar Tzliya, by Shabbos. So before we get into quoting the Mordechai, the Ravya, and the Yireim, and the Mordechai, just the whole comparison to these Gemaras is interesting, because what we've been dealing with until now is various hagdaras for Bishal. What is Bishal? How do you define Bishal? So is Bishal based on changing of the taste on Shabbos, or is it based on changing whether it's edible or not? If you're going to learn from these Gemaras, which are Gemaras on external Gemaras that have nothing to do with Shabbos and nothing to do with changing the taste or whether it's edible or not, these are Gemaras in terms of defining a certain status. This sounds very similar to the Rashba, the way we understood the Rashba, which is a defining something as a chatzah hamavushal. The Rashba said that ein bishal achar bishal is that if you have a chatzah hamavushal, so then you're allowed to cook it on Shabbos because it's already defined as a chatzah hamavushal. So what are these Gemaras talking about? These Gemaras are talking about the fact that you have a certain status. You have a matzah, has to be baked. It has the status of being baked. So are you removing it from its status of being baked? Korban Pesach has to be roasted. Are you removing it from its status of being roasted? So if you're learning from these Gemaras, it seems like the way they understand the Hagdara Bishal is that it's a Chafza HaMavushal. So now the question is, are you changing its status from being a Chafza of Afiyah, it's a baked item, to now being a cooked item? So now that you're changing its status, so maybe you'll be Chayev on Shabbos or not. This is the Machlokas between the Ravya and the Reim, and this big Machlokas. But the very fact that we're trying to extend from cases outside of Shabbos that have nothing to do, and these are cases that aren't discussing the taste or the whether it's edible or not, that's not what they're discussing, these Gemaras. They're just discussing whether we're removing something from its status, so it seems like their Hagdar for Bishal is like the Rashba. Let's just read the Mordechai inside here quickly before we end. Towards the middle, he's quoting from the Yireim here. He says, "Af b'shein bishal achar bishal mikol makom yesh bishal achar afiya v'tzliya." He says that even though there isn't bishal achar bishal, but there is bishal achar afiya v'tzliya. What's his source for this? The source is the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim, "K'darim b'Pesachim tzalav achar kaf bishal chayev umukilak Rav Yosi damar yotzin beraka kashari avalo b'mavushal af b'shaloni muach." Rav Yosi is of the opinion, clearly in the Gemara in Pesachim, that yesh bishal achar afiya. Now comes the Yireim and he extends it. All we know from the Gemara in Pesachim is Yesh Bishal Achar Afiya. Comes the Yireim and he says, V'hu Adin D'yesh Bishal Achar Tzli. Sorry, he didn't extend it yet, but Yesh Bishal Achar Tzli. Hilkoch, therefore he has the following Psak. Yizar Adam Shaloi Litein Pas Ofoi Af B'Klishin B'Makom Sheyatzu Lettuce Bow. He says that he has the following Psak, which would apply L'maisa, that if you have something which is baked, i.e. bread, so then you wouldn't be able to put it into a klisheni, into your soup bowl, if it's yad soletesbo. If it's hot as yad soletesbo, one wouldn't be able to take something which is baked and then cook it, because that's called bishal achar afiyah, and you'd be chayav for that. Now he extends it and he says, v'gam mitzli yesh lizar kemochein v'amavusha lo yitin itzal eish b'chom gadol sheyad soletesbo v'im osa chilo Shabbos. Now he extends it to the opposite case, and he says the following. If you have something which is cooked from before Shabbos, you then can't roast it on Shabbos. So this is the opposite case, and the Gemara never discussed this case. The Gemara only discussed cases where the second step is the cooking. The first step is tzli or afiyah, and then the second step is bishal. Over here, the Yireim is now extending it to a case where you first cooked it, and then the second step is to then roast it. And he says the same thing would apply. Bein bishal achar tzli, bein tzli achar bishal, would be chayiv. You would extend it. Comes the Ravya, and he argues with his first case. The first case is bishal achar tzli. Miur Ravya kasav delav milsehi. It's not true, because the Gemara in Brachos, the whole Gemara in Pesachim, as Tosfos explained, is only going according to Ula, which is the Havmina of the Gemara there. That's all the Hamina, the Gemara, and Brachos. But according to the Maskana, the Gemara, and Brachos, everyone agrees, Rabbi Yossi agrees, that Bishul does not impact the original status. And the whole reason for Rabbi Yossi there with regard to matzah is because it changed the taste of the matzah. But really, Rabbi Yossi agrees. And in fact, Lamaisa, we paskin that if you cook vegetables, you make a shahak, you make a hadama. The reason for that is because cooking doesn't change the status. So if we paskin that cooking a vegetable, you make a hadama on it, and cooking doesn't change the status, so then so too for Shabbos, cooking shouldn't change the status of the item. So the Rabbi argues that one would be able to cook after one baked it or roasted it. So the question is, what would the Rabbi hold in the second case of the Yireim? The Yireim extended his psak to even in the case of Tzli Achar Bishul. The Yireim said that in the case of Tzli Achar Bishul, which is not quoted in the Gemara, one would also be chayav for that. So the question is, what does the Rav Yah hold with regards to that? So you could say it in, I think the Egle Tal mentions that you could say it in either way. Either the Rav Yah argues on that case also. The Rav Yah says that even in the case of Tzli Achar Bishul, that would also be Pater. That would not be Chayev. Because it goes in both directions. The point is that once it's ready defined as something which is cooked, whether it was cooked through baking, whether it was cooked through cooking, if it was mavushal, if it's defined as mavushal, so whatever you do afterwards, even if it's a different technique, whatever that technique is, doesn't make a difference, it's already defined as a chatzah ha-mavushal. Or you could say as follows, the Rav Yah is only arguing in the case of bishal achar tzli, or bishal achar afia, because bishal is subsumed within afia or tzli. But if it's afia or tzli achar bishal, if it's in the opposite direction, so then maybe the Rav Yah would agree that you are a chayev, because the idea is not the fact that whatever technique is, it's defined as chafta mevushal, and then whatever you do afterwards wouldn't impact it. No, it depends on the order. If it's bishal achar tzli, so then bishal is subsumed within tzli, and you aren't changing it. But you could say that tzli achar bishal does change the item. That you cooked it first, but then afterwards you roast it, so then that would change the item and you would be chayav. So the Rav Yah is open to as to whether or not he argues on this second point of the Yireim, which is not found in the Gemara. The Yireim just extends it, so it's unclear as to whether the Rav Yah is arguing on the second point or not. We're going to discuss the opinion of the Yireim on Monday.